Brethren, would you turn to the Gospel of Matthew this morning and the Gospel of John. If you could find those two, we're going to look at Matthew 22 and John 13 to begin our Bible reading this morning. Matthew 22 and John 13. We'll look at Matthew 22, 37, 38, and 39, and John 13, 34 and 35. The Word of God says in Matthew 22, beginning verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now please, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, words of Jesus also, John 13, verse 34, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let's pray. Father, open please your word to us. We pray for that, and we pray again, Lord. Open your word, please. Your word says often in it, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Father, you've given us ears to hear. You've given us spiritual life and understanding. I pray, Father, that we would hear your word today. Hear the word of the Lord. Let, Lord, what I say, I know I read your word. And as I expound upon it, Lord, let what I say, let my words be acceptable in thy sight. Oh God, may they be directed from you. Direct my thoughts and words by the Holy Spirit of God. May we hear the word of the Lord this day. May we hear it, rejoice in it, obey it, and glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Love one another, Jesus said, love. Love one another. Love as I have loved you. Oh, there's a lot in that, brethren. A lot in that. I want to preach to you today about love. Before I go into new territory, I want to review for just a few moments, review some of the things that we looked at last week. Last week, we looked at love. I told you love was on my mind because I think God put it there, but also Valentine's Day was approaching last Sunday. And I said, I'm not going to wait till next Sunday, that is today, to begin preaching about love. I began last Sunday. And I said, I'm going to give you two sermons on love. I think I said something like that. But the more I study it, brethren, I may just spend the rest of the month on it or longer. I don't know. I just see what God, how He leads. Last week, we looked at love. And the verse that we looked at was from 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What a wonderful verse that is, brethren. John the Apostle. He's sometimes called the Apostle of Love. Writes so much about love. And in that first general epistle, 1 John, he writes about it over beginning about the second or the third chapter. He writes a lot about love. And we're going to go there today in a little while. But before we do, well, we're there now. In 1 John, behold, that is, understand, think about, comprehend, behold, what manner of love, love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, the extent of it, the kind of love, the great love that He's bestowed upon us. Who's bestowed it upon us? The Father. Unto who? Us, a holy God. To unholy people, that we, and here's the manner of it, here's the extent of it, here's the nature of it, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, that He's made us His children. He's made us His own. He's put us into His family so that we can say, I'm a child of God. He's adopted us into His family. We were estranged from God, but He took us in. He saved us. And then last Sunday, after I read you that verse and made some comments, I began to try to talk to you about that God that's done that. What a miracle it is, because He's a holy God. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere present, nowhere absent. He's holy, holy, holy. Sister Jane, this morning in the call to worship, I don't know if you term it that, in which He plays the piano when we're coming in and hopefully praying and getting our minds set on God, she's playing the hymns of God. And she played this morning, Holy, Holy, Holy. Ooh, I love that hymn, Sister Jane. Thank you for playing it. You know what it says, Holy, Holy, Holy? Only Thou art holy. And that's right, brethren. And we're unholy. But God says, you be holy because I'm holy. God has enabled you and me, brethren. In His sight, He's made us holy through Christ Jesus. But He's also enabled us to be holy to a degree, to have a practical righteousness about us. But brethren, where it stood when man fell, where it stood is where God always stood. He's holy, holy, holy. And when man fell, we became unholy. But that holy God, brethren, He loves us to the extent, brethren, that He's chosen us and He's saved us. The all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, nowhere absent, holy God has come and taken us in. And that's why John the Apostle knows that. And I think, I told you last Sunday, he says, behold that. I think he wants us to think about it, and he's making a doctrinal statement. He's saying God has made us holy, but also I think it's somewhat of an explanation, an exclamatory statement. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I had this thought, it may be crazy, but it's like a beauty queen. She gets the crown and the roses and she says, oh, I don't deserve this. Don't they always say that? I'm so happy. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. It's like we should say, behold what manner of love He's bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, we don't deserve it. Certainly we don't, but He's done it. And John says, think about that. Think about that. God set His love upon us. I read to you or quoted to you from Jeremiah, I think it's 31:3. I have loved you, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. It's that love which is defined as an intense feeling of deep affection. That's what God, brethren, has for us. It's in there, and then I described to you last Sunday, I tried to describe some thoughts I had on describing that love. That love He has for us is everlasting. It'll never stop. It's constant. It doesn't grow stronger and weaker. It doesn't ebb. It only flows. It's undeserved. It's unconditional. And one of the most beautiful things about it, brethren, is nothing can separate us from it. Oh, I said to you something last Sunday like, when you leave here, oh, it was cold and rainy. I don't think it was as cold or as rainy as it is today. But I said, these truths in God's Word, brethren, ought to warm you up, ought to make you feel good, and certainly make you glad that you came out in this kind of weather. Nothing can separate us from it. We're loved, and we're loved unconditionally and eternally, and nothing can separate us from it. And Sister Jane, I wrote in my notes, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Y'all, you know, we sung that this morning, didn't we? We praised God saying that. If we could, the ocean filled with ink, and if every man was a scribe by trade, and the sky was parchment made, we drain the ocean dry, writing about the love of God. It says something like that. A holy God loved and loves man even sinful man. He loved us so much, He did something none of us would ever do. That's give our only Son so that others could be reconciled or saved, reconciled to Him. Being reconciled to Him, brethren, we have life. We have life eternal. We have life everlasting. Last week, the Father's love for us, the manner of it, the extent of it, the nature of it, the result of it. Today, brethren, love again, because He has loved us and does love us, brethren. He expects, He commands, He requires us to love back. To love back. I read those verses to you. Just two of them. There are many, but I read a couple of them to you. In Matthew, where was it? What was it? Matthew what? 22:37. Matthew 22:37. Let's look at it again with me. Matthew 22:37. Jesus is responding to a man who comes and asks him, what's the great commandment? What must I do to inherit eternal life? He's tempting him. It's a test. But Jesus knows it. And He says in verse 37, Jesus says unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. That, brethren, is a quote from Deuteronomy 6:5. It's from the Old Testament. It's an Old Testament law that we're to love God above everything. And then Jesus adds, the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that, brethren, is Leviticus. It's the Old Testament. It's the law. Leviticus 19:18. And then I went this morning at the outset, we went to John, and Jesus says, I'll give you a new commandment. Sounds like the old one, doesn't it? But it's different. It's couched a little differently. We'll get to that in just a little bit. First of all, I want to speak to you about loving God and loving your neighbor. After all, that's what Jesus says. He says, on these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, it's important. This is very, very important. First, love God. Love God. I want to give you some doctrinal information. You already know it. I want to review it with you. Jesus says, love God first, above everything. Here's a doctrinal statement for you, brethren. You can only do that. You can only love God because He loved you first. He's already loved you, and He's enabled you, brethren, to love Him. He's bestowed His love upon you. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath given unto us, bestowed to us, that we should be called the sons of God. It's already happened, brethren. When you become aware of it, it's already happened. Long before the foundation of the world, He loved you. He loved you with an everlasting love. He loved you in Christ. He chose you in Christ. And so, brethren, you're able to know God, the one true and living God, and you're able to love Him. John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is a long word. It simply means atonement. He sent Jesus to atone for our sins. John says, this is love. You know, love is hard to define. All kinds of definitions of it. But sometimes if we have an example of it, it's an illustration of us, for us, of what love is. And John says, here's love. Here's an example of love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to atone for our sins. That's love. Love Him above all, Jesus says. The law commands that. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Deuteronomy 6:5. That's that command of the law. Thinking of God first. Thinking of God first loving me helps me to love Him above other things. Thinking that God showed me His love. He has showed me His love in that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross to pardon my sins, to be the propitiation, to atone for my sins. That, brethren, that helps me to love Him above everything else. When I'm able to do that, when I do it, because there are days when I love myself better than I love God. Shame on me. There are days when I love things more than I love God. Shame on me. When I think of God and giving His only begotten Son, and I think of the daily blessings, Brother Eddie prays, when he prays, he often says, "Thank you for the blessings of this day and all the days of our lives." That covers it. I think that's Brother Eddie's thinking. He wants to be thankful to God. He wants to acknowledge that God, we've got blessings today. It's early in the day when we get here, fairly early, but still we're loaded with benefits before we get here. And then Brother Eddie says, and the days of our lives. Thinking of those blessings, brethren, helps me to love God above everything else. Love God above everything and love your neighbor as yourself. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's Leviticus 19:18. That was the command of the law. These two commands are repeated by Jesus, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. Love God, love your neighbor. You ever seen that bumper sticker? You ever heard preachers say that? Love God, love your neighbor. You know, the man asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" I think he asked it kind of in a cocky way. Who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus tells him the story of the man that went up from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he fell among thieves. He was left wounded. Did he go down from Jerusalem to Jericho or up from Jerusalem to Jericho? I can't remember. Y'all know? I can't remember. Anyway, it was a dangerous road between Jerusalem and Jericho. And there was a place, I had a name, something like the area of blood or something, because there were so many robberies there and killings there. It was a dangerous way to travel. And this man was traveling through there and he got attacked and robbed and left half dead. Who is my neighbor? In the case of that good Samaritan, it was a total stranger. It was somebody not in his social class. It was somebody that might have even hated him. That was the neighbor. It could be a brother in Christ. It could be a brother by the ties of nature. It could be even, brethren, your enemy, because Jesus says He goes that far. Love your enemies. This morning during the song service, I was thinking about that verse. I'm not going to try to preach to you about it today, but that's why I said maybe you need to spend more time on love than just the two Sundays I'm thinking about. Of all the things that Jesus tells us to love. Husbands, love your wives. I won't even cover that today. I think I'm going to try to address it tonight. Love your enemies. There's a tough one. Maybe I need to spend a Sunday on that. For me, especially, and maybe for you too. Jesus says that love God first and love Him above everything. And second, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Today, in the time remaining, I want to the neighbor today, with the remaining time that I want to address, is this. Love the brethren, fellow believers in Christ. Narrowing it on down, love the people in this room right here. I know that's narrowing it down, but I know you love each other. I know that. But I want to address it, brethren, because I need to think about it more. Fellow members of God's family, we're all granted entry into God's family, and none of us deserve it. None of us. We're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Oh, brethren, you know what? It'll help me love you if I see you as a child of God, serving God, and I say, it's just the grace of God that He's allowed me to be a part of this. It'll help me love you like I ought to when I say, oh, just let me tag along. Just let me be a little part of it. Just let me watch. Just let me stand by. Let me maybe join in. the family of God as you go about serving and loving one another and worshiping. Just let me be a part of it. Verses which speak, brethren, of love for one another, you and me, fellow believers, verses that speak of that and encourage us to love one another. Let's go now to 1 John. I made a list of them. I don't think I'm going to say much about any of them because the time's running out. In the time that's left, I just want to read them off to you, and I'll probably comment some. But 1 John. Go back to 1 John. We looked at 1 John last week. We looked at 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath given unto us or bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now this week, brethren, I want to read you some verses from this wonderful general epistle called 1 John, where the God, the Holy Spirit, inspired John the Apostle to encourage us to love one another. I'm gonna cite them, and then I want to read them to you. Some I've written down in my notes. Some of them I'm going to read from my Bible. I copied it word for word, I hope. 1 John 2:10. Now, at the outset, brethren, I read to you where Jesus said, "Love God, love your neighbor." We've talked about loving God. Now we're talking about loving our neighbor. And in this case, who is our neighbor? In this case, it's a fellow believer in Christ. This is what John says about that, brethren. 1 John 2:10. "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him." I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you love one another, the ones in this room right here, your fellow believer, you abide in the light. That is the light of God, the love of God. You're not going to stumble around and mess up something, embarrass yourself, if you love one another. Jan and I were watching a TV program recently, and these two people were talking, and there was a third person very closely associated with them that was walking up to the door of the room but had not come in, and they were talking about that third person, and they weren't loving like it's just a TV program, but it's an illustration. And the person came in, and their mouths kind of dropped open, and they realized she had been hearing what they were saying. If they had loved her, I know it's fiction, it's a TV program, but if they had loved her like they should have, they wouldn't have been saying that, and they wouldn't have stumbled and stammered, and they wouldn't have been in the dark, so to speak. "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him." If I love you, brothers and sisters, like I should, I won't mind you hearing anything I have to say about you, because it's going to be good. I won't be talking about you in a way that I shouldn't. 3:11, 1 John 3:11. "This is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And let me say a little parenthetical right here, brethren. I don't know in here that there's a soul mad with another one. If there is, I don't know it. But if there is, get over it and love. And love covers a multitude of sins. And I'm not... If I look at you, I'm just looking at you because I'm talking to everybody in here and talking to myself. I don't know that there's a feud going on, but brethren, so I can say in a generic sense, if there is, get over it. "This is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." From the beginning of the Word of God in Genesis, from the beginning of the Gospel time, from the beginning that you were able to understand the Word of God. This is the message, brethren. Love one another. Love one another. "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." That's 2:14 or 3:14. "We know that we have passed from death unto life." John writes a lot about knowing things. We know that we know, he says. "We know that we have passed from death into life." In other words, that you are alive spiritually, brethren, an evidence that you can claim and use when Satan says, oh, you're not even a child of God. How do you know that? You're too sorry to be a child of God. Well, I am. But by the grace of God, I'm not. But something, brethren, that helps me know that I'm alive spiritually is this. I love the brethren. There it is. 3:14. 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we see the love of God. Because He laid down His life for us. And the rest of the story is this. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Lay them down. Now, brethren, I don't think that means primarily jumping out in front of a car and getting yourself killed, because that's probably not going to happen. If it does, do it. But day by day by day, lay down your life for someone else's. Let them go first. Let their desires be ahead of yours. We perceive the love of God because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We ought to demonstrate our love. How do we do it? He gets very practical in the next verse, 3:17, 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, that's your caring heart. You quench the spirit. You shut up your bowels of compassion from the one in need. How dwelleth the love of God in him? In other words, it doesn't, apparently. At least it's not manifested. Next verse, my little children. That's a pet name for brethren in Christ that John used. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Indeed, in action. Love in action. Not in word, or at least not in word only, and not just the sound that we make of our voice, but indeed, indeed. 3:23, I didn't write that one down. Yeah, here it is. I'll read it from my Bible. 1 John 3:23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ, His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. God the Father gave the commandment that we should believe on the name of the Son, of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave commandment. That's Jesus gave that commandment, that we should love one another. Now, brethren, let's go to that commandment. He gave it out of the law. We read that at the beginning of this sermon, but I want to read to you the words of Jesus as He's about to go to the cross. They're a little different. Go to John 13. John 13, 34. We read these at the start. A new commandment I give unto you. This is John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Well, at the outset, we read Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy, love your neighbor as yourself, love one another. But He says this is new. What's new about this? One thing new about this, brethren, is Jesus is saying love one another in the spiritual sense rather than the legal. The law is fulfilled now. And go to the spiritual side of it. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. My understanding is under the law, where the Word of God says, love your neighbor as yourself, they viewed that as fellow Hebrews, fellow Jews. If you're outside the nation of Israel, no requirement in the law for me to love you. Only within. But Jesus expands that. You remember the guy asked Him, who's my neighbor? So, and Jesus gave him the example of the Good Samaritan. Love one another as I have loved you. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. I want to close now by saying, last week, we looked at how God loved us. He's brought us into His family. He loved us so that He gave His only begotten Son for us. Today we look at the commandment that God gives us. Because I've loved you, I command you, I require you to love one another. And not just the letter of the law. Don't do it kicking and screaming. Don't do it begrudgingly, because that's not love. But do it in the spiritual sense. Open your heart to those fellow believers. That's what we're talking about right now as our neighbors. Be good to them. Love them. Demonstrate it. Don't say it. Don't just say it. But demonstrate it. Love one another. Those words from John 13 are Jesus' words to the apostles, who were also disciples, as He was about to go to the cross. I've said before to you that the words of a dying man we listen to. Sometimes we're at the bedside of a dying person, maybe our parent or a loved one or somebody. And whatever they've got to say, we want to hear it. We want to hear their last thoughts. These words were Jesus' words. He was nearing the cross. And He says to His followers, love one another. I've thought before, just kind of daydreamed, that if I die and my children have the opportunity to be there, what would I say to them? And I thought, well, I'd probably say, I want y'all to get along. They do get along now, but it would ease my mind if I knew I was leaving this world and my children said, Daddy, you know we love each other. We're going to do whatever's right for each other. That would comfort me. And maybe I'll get the chance to say those things. I don't know. It doesn't matter now. But brethren, Jesus, some of His parting words are, love one another. And brethren, I love you, and if I'm not loving you like I ought to, just let me know it. I'm going to try to do better. I'm trying to love you more. If there's something I'm leaving unsaid or undone, I love you. So just tell me. I'll just love you more, and I'll try to fix it. Oh God in heaven, bless us to love you above everything and to love one another. As Christ said, love one another. May we, as John the Apostle says, demonstrate it, show it. Oh Lord, bless us to do that. As we pray so often, Lord, give us opportunities and show us and don't let us miss them. Lord, we ask now that you would show us opportunities to demonstrate our love for you and for the brethren. That Lord, you told us is what the church is and should be. That's a part of it. Oh, Lord, may our love be apparent for one another. As Jesus says, or John says, that Jesus says, that's how the world will know that we're disciples of Christ, that we love one another. Oh, Lord, may we show one another how much we love each other. May we be forgiving. May we know that love covers a multitude of shortfalls, of sins. May we exercise that love. May we love as Christ loved us. As He says, that's how He wants us to love. Forgiving sins and overlooking shortcomings. Give us that grace, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close now with a hymn, brethren. If you love God, the Word of God tells us very plainly He loved you already. He loved you from before the foundation of the world. If you want to serve Him with the church here, come forward as we sing the last hymn and make that request known. Brother Andy.